Welcome to the Smiling Homeschooler Podcast. My name is Ben Wilson, and this week we answer some listener questions. These include how to balance a clean house, kids, and school, if it's okay to do the same school with two different age kids, and fighting the feeling of failure, and a whole bunch more. We also want to say thank you to Teaching Textbooks for all their support of the Smiling Homeschooler. They're an amazing math curriculum, and we believe they help more homeschoolers smile. So go check them out over at teachingtextbooks.com. Lastly, we just want to say thank you to Homeschooling Today magazine for their support. They're an amazing source of regular homeschooling encouragement. And if you aren't already, you should go subscribe over at homeschoolingtoday.com. But let's get going. Here's my dad, Todd Wilson.
Hey, everybody. I just got off a homegrown generation video virtual homeschool convention. You can go over there and check it out. I think they've been going for a day or so, and they were all day yesterday, and I think today, and maybe tomorrow. There's plenty of information, lots of encouragement over there. I'm sure you would benefit by going over there. But if you were, I met some of you at the TTD event, Teach Them Diligently live event in Cedarville, and that was super awesome. And again, if you haven't found a homeschool convention to go to, man, you got to do it because it is awesome. So here's what I was thinking maybe we'd do today, and that I asked today over some over at Facebook, as we have several times before, ask questions like, what's going on in your homeschool world? Are things going okay? You know, what are you facing? A bunch of people replied and said, this is what we're struggling with or dealing with right now. And so what I thought about doing was seeing if we could include my wife in this, Debbie. But as I observed her during the day-to-day, I thought, today's not a good day to have her on the show. And she's working on taxes and school and other things that I'm like, nah, let's not even go there.
Holding on the edge of sanity.
So I thought maybe we would answer some or discuss some of these questions. And if we read a really good one that we don't know the answer to, we'll mark it as a Debbie question and maybe save these and answer them later. I would like to go back and like answer all your questions, but there are so many of them. And I don't know if I can go back and
make a document
them.
Here and we'll put some into here and then in the future. Okay. So hopefully we'll get to them.
Okay, so let's just start at the very top and kind of work our way down, Ben. I've got it in the all comments, so that should put them in the same order for you as well. This first one is from Sky Eaton, and she says, our family is still working on balancing full-time youth ministry and homeschool. So blessed that our kids get to come home, get to come with us sometimes and be part of youth group. But sometimes it's just easier for them to not come with us to some events, so my husband, the youth pastor, and I can focus on our teens. You know, that's a great question. And really one that is asked all the time differently, you know, because Sky's husband is in full-time youth ministry full-time youth ministry. And, you know, how do you balance ministry and homeschooling and family? And, you know, here's my thoughts. And I was even asked this question just super recently. I think we have to kind of give up the fight, you know, because it's just hard to balance that. It's hard to find some sweet little spot where I'm giving enough time to each of these. The truth is homeschooling takes up a lion's share. And really, I won't even say just homeschooling, like the school part. I'll just say family takes up the lion's share. And so, you know, my thoughts are I would try to involve them in as much as I could, knowing there are times that they won't be involved and knowing that I won't be as good a youth pastor because I've got little kids, you know, because I've got family. And that's the way it goes in everything. You know, I can't be everything to everybody. I can't be as good a family man, you know, like on the road or a smiling homeschooler on the road because I have family. And, you know, I know there will come a time where, Sky, your kids are grown up and you're going to have gobs of time, you know, hopefully. You still may not. But you'll have more time, and you'll wish you could go back to having little kids again. Because, you know, you kind of, those are such precious times.
Yeah.
So I think the answer, and Ben, maybe you can answer it better than I am. I think the answer is kind of coming to terms with where you are, you know, and saying, okay, you know, like sometimes even in a house where you say, okay, I want a nice tidy house, but I got kids and I got homeschooling. So I'm not going to have a tidy as my house is not going to be as tidy as I want it to be. And I'm going to have to be okay with that. And yeah. So, you know, I think in this, as far as Sky and her husband, I think, you know, you're going to have to be kind of okay with, and not just okay with it, but kind of knowing that that's what God has for you right now. And that's the best. Got any words of wisdom there, Ben?
I mean, not too much. I mean, I think it's pretty natural that, you know, especially if you're in ministry. I mean, that's what Paul and what was it, Corinthians something, where he's talking about how, you know, the married versus unmarried. And
right,
you're married, you're going to have your focus split because you have to, you know, you've got family and you've got kids. And especially obviously in a scenario where you're with youth, you know, your youth group, obviously it's important, but your family is more important in terms of you can't neglect them, and then, you know, and put all your time into one, and obviously there's some of that vice versa. But yeah, it's a challenge. But I know Sky, and I know she and her husband have a great heart for that, and but I definitely get that feeling of where it's like, I want to be more involved. You know, my pastor recently, you know, a while back, was asking for something, and it was like, I've got like one night a week where I don't have to do something else. It's like, how much do I do where I be involved versus, you know, spend time with my kids? And I was like, I'm sorry, but I just can't spend the one night I have a week without something else going on, you know, to do that. And it's hard. And obviously it changes, like you said, based on the season and the time. And sometimes it may be your family has to make that sacrifice more. But yeah.
Well, I think the guilt can be overwhelming, mm-hmm. you know, because especially for moms, you know, and they'll say, well, can't you be involved in church? Can't you be involved in this ministry or that ministry? You know, I mean, it's not us four and no more, you know, it's not just about your family. Well, when you're a family person, it is kind of about your family. Yes, you can do those other things, but, you know, that's a spiritual act of service as well, just as spiritual. In fact, in church this past Sunday, our associate pastor was saying they needed volunteers for Big Brothers Big Sisters, mm-hmm. but they were needing some big brothers. They needed some men who would, you know, give up one lunch a day to meet with the kid. And my daughter Maggie leans over and goes, hey, Dad, you could do one lunch a week. I'm like, I already have lunch with enough kids. You know, I'm like,
I
my
knew
own kids.
You said that. I saw her lean over and I was like, I bet. And I said it verbally in my head. Dad's saying, I already do this every day.
Yeah. I don't need. And, you know, and
I do actually.
And that's
cool.
Okay. That's okay. I mean, yeah, there are times, you know, where someone like my personality should feel a little guilty. But your personality, Sky, you don't need to feel guilty. I would just enjoy where you're at. And, you know, and really, to the husbands who are listening, sometimes I think husbands need to come to the rescue of their wives, you know, because I remember when our family was young and someone said to me, well, your wife really needs to be there. And I said, no, she's not going. And he's like, why? And I said, because she's busy during the day and she needs to rest and she just can't put that on her plate. To him, that was almost foreign. But you know what? My wife didn't have to worry about it. She didn't have to defend herself because I came to her rescue as her knight in shining armor. And so dads, and especially ministry dads, you know, stand up for your wives and, you know, let them cower behind you as you take all the brunt of that.
Yeah, that is hard. Any kind of job where it's like, you know, at all times, it can be all over the place, like ministry, or I know like the military is like this. And again, the military, you have even less choice there, but especially ministry, where it does feel almost unnatural to have to say no to some of those things, you know, I've talked to quite a few pastors who definitely have struggled with that feeling of just having to be there for everything. Kelsey here said, though, I think kind of goes into this. She said, how do you balance it all? I have a fourth grader, a third grader, and a three-year-old. School goes well enough with my older kids, but my house is a mess. My toddler isn't getting enough attention. Every night I feel like I failed at something. I almost feel like sending the school-age boys back to school next year, but I know the best place for them is at home, so we're going to keep going. Just having problems balancing.
Again, Kelsey, I think just like we were talking, throw that word balancing out. You know, don't try it. You cannot balance this. I would go, you said, you know, but I know the best place for them is at home. I would underline that, and I would post it on your door post. And I would just, every time you feel that, it's a wife thing. It's a woman thing. Sounds sexist, but it's true. You know, you often feel like you're failing at not just something, but failing at everything. You have to remind yourself that your house is okay. You know, that your toddler is getting enough attention. You know, that's a thing you could feel guilty about. People ask me all the time, you know, we had 8 children, and they'll say, what did you do to do spend one-on-one time with your children? Did you do, you know, a date night every day, every week with one of your kids? And how did you? And I'm like, I didn't do any of that. You know, when I went to the store, sometimes I said, hey, Ben, you want to go with me to the store? And they would go with me. But, you know, I think it's even better for your toddler to grow up in a family where they're not the center of the universe, you know, and they're not getting neglected. They're getting lots of attention. And if you can just kind of not carve out time for them, but just take advantage of those little nugget times, you know, where God just says, okay, here's a kid who wants to sit on your lap. Again, if I was doing school, like if I'm doing math, and we're looking at it, and our little toddler comes over, 3-year-old, and says, mommy, mommy, I want to, you know, puts its hands out. I would fold up your math, and I would take that little child and put it on my lap, and I would make sure he or she is really comfortable, and then you can open up the math again. You know, and maybe you don't get as much school done, but that's okay too.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, you know, that whole idea of balance is kind of saying that, you know, spending time with my children and the relationship and the school and a clean house and getting meals done and whatever else it may be, those are all balance out. But I mean, everything in the world, you know, that there is to do does not equal, you know, the relationships with your children, you know, and the time spent with your children. That is infinitely more important than all of that stuff. So, I mean, and as Dad said, get rid of the bad, like throw it out. Don't try to make it all balanced, because it's not. What it usually means is like make it all feel like it's under control, you know, which is I get that. And that is tough. But the part I think is also is, yeah, where you said just you're going to feel like failure. Just keep fighting. Don't let that overwhelm you, because, yeah, it can, and it can suck everything else out. And I think that's where it comes in, just trusting God that if you're putting putting effort in, you're there with your kids every day, you know, that's going to be rewarded, and there will be fruit. And it may not be today or even next week, but it will be. And I think it's hard to sometimes remember perspective, you know, and this sometimes I have to remind myself, where it's like, oh, I could be more intentional, or I could be more whatever. Is there are so many kids out there who have nothing like your kids have, you know. I mean, they don't have a parent who cares. They don't have a mom or dad. They don't have, you know, or if they do, it's almost no input through the day. You're spending 99% of your day with them, putting so much effort. It's, I mean, if anyone's going to not fail, you know, it's going to be a, you know, Christ-loving parent who's putting so much effort into their kid. You know, it may feel like failure, but that's as good as it's going to get, you know, from an earthly standpoint, I think. And I just think you have to trust God that you're doing your best, and he will, you know, he will work in their lives, and that will
ring to fruition. That's another reason, I think. Just like we were saying, I think that's where husbands come into play. Husbands need to help our wives know that. You know, our husbands need to say, the house is fine. you know, it's okay. I'm good with this. You know, we're raising kids, not a shiny house, you know, and the same thing about other things. But if a husband will say, wow, you know, we haven't had a decent meal around here in a long time, that just, you know, fans the flames of guilt.
It's tough.
So husbands, you have a huge role to play in this, and really one another. I think, you know, in your homeschool co-ops, you should be talking about these things. So your friends will say to you, you know, Kelsey, you're doing a great job. Don't worry about your house is not as bad as my house, you know, and that's okay. I think we need to be real amongst each other and remind each other what really, really matters. Because one day again, which I've probably said it over 10 million times, one day your house is going to be nice and clean. There are not going to be any toys in your yard. You're going to be able to minister to the poor and the needy and everybody else. And you'll wish you could come back and do homeschooling all over again.
Yeah. Joy mentioned, I was thinking the exact same thing. So it was good timing, but is that, make sure you are communicating with your husband on just the, you know, how much there is going on, because I think it is easy for us to just forget, you know, how much effort and how much stress and, you know, hard it is. Cause you know, sometimes that'll be like, you know, my wife will make comments, and this is, if you've ever read Love and Respect, this is kind of that crazy cycle thing where it's like, you know, she'll be like, well, you're just sitting around at work all day, hanging out with friends and going out to eat, you know, or whatever. And I'm like,
which is true.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, I'm like, no, all my day, every day is I have to be gone. I come home, I play with the kids until bed, I do a podcast or whatever, and then I go to sleep. And, you know, but it's this thing of like, we both work hard, but yeah, reminding me, you know, how hard, or not just even hard, you know, just reminding me what she does every day, and me remembering that, because you can be pretty oblivious and make comments, and
yeah,
your husband can be pretty dumb, but you know, try to give him the benefit of the doubt and just communicate with him, because we know we do it, and it's unfortunate, but we don't mean to add to it, but it does, and I get that. But do you have another one?
Sure. How about a commercial?
Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, we just want to say thank you to Teaching Textbooks for supporting the Smiling Homeschooler. They have an amazing curriculum that you can do from any device that has an internet browser. So it's really nice and easy to access. It's engaging. And I think it's just a really great curriculum. You can check out a free trial over at teachingtextbooks.com. One of the comments was something about, and I'm going to rephrase it a little bit, but she basically said, what do I do if my child just isn't connecting with Teaching Textbooks, you know? And she's like, I like it, but it's just not working for her. You know, they would not say, even I don't believe, that you should just push through no matter what, even if she is not enjoying it. There are other ways to learn math that might just connect more with her. But I think it for a lot of kids, it's a really, really an amazing curriculum. So check them out. You can call them up if you have any questions. They're a great company and great team over there. So we really appreciate their support.
Well, we also want to thank Homeschooling Today magazine. And I will just tell you right now, if you haven't checked out their free digital Winter 2022 issue, you should go ahead and do that. Maybe it's not Winter 22, but it's the most recent. And it is amazing. Here's some of the features, you know, some of the article titles. You Are the Mom Your Kids Need by Tracy Klicka. Again, a kind of a pioneer. Before You Give Up on Your Curriculum by Sarah Butt. Planning Your New Year. Grace for the Winter Months by Debbie Strayer, who's now in heaven. A Singular Focus by Kay Chance. Real Life Math, Hit the Restart, you know, and just lots of good stuff. And, you know, Encouragement for Your Soul by Ashley Wiggers, Real Life Homeschooling, Learning Naturally, 10 Ways to Make It Fun, great books for all ages. And of course, The Family Man by me, a brilliant article this time. And you can even hear me reading it to you. So if you need some encouragement, check out Homeschooling Today magazine. Check out their winter issue that's free, it's digital, and go there today, homeschoolingtoday.com. Okay, this is by Julia Andrews, not to be confused with Julie Andrews. How do you feel enough, she wrote in quotation marks, and stop feeling too much? Am I enough? Have I been there for them enough emotionally? Are we doing enough school? Are we getting out with friends enough? Am I letting their dad be involved with education enough? Did we do too much of one thing versus another? Am I relying on others for help too much? Am I doing too much? That is only a mom who could feel those things. Julia, in the same thing, you said, am I doing enough? And then you said, am I doing too much? And I think that is exactly how 99% of all moms feel all the time. My wife, she must start every other sentence with, I feel bad for, and I tried to tell her, and I will continue to tell her, just like we were in the previous questions, Julia, you're doing enough, you know, and even if you're not, that's okay. And don't worry about, you're not doing too much, or, you know, don't worry about their dad being involved enough. And I know some would say, yeah, but we just want to push ourselves towards excellence. Oh, I know we do that. But I think sometimes we can just relax in who you are and what you're doing right now. You know, it's not all about you. It's about God's got all this in his hand. And you don't have to get them to that place. You know, it's not up to you to make sure you've pounded all these things into their head. And I just want to see you smile some more. And maybe, and I know this, I don't mean this to sound harsh, but sometimes our pride gets in the way. Not a pride in saying, oh, I'm so good, but a pride that says, it is all up to me. You know, and Julia, it's not all up to you. And I think that's a place that we can, all moms can rest in. And if you can come to that place, man, you will enjoy your children more. You'll enjoy homeschooling more. You'll enjoy it all. Yes, your house will still be messy and you'll still not cover everything, but you're going to be okay with that.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good. I don't have much to add there, but I thought this was a good one right underneath it. Actually, is Heather. She said, I have two girls 20 months apart. So one is second grade, the other and one in third grade. There seems to be so much overlap in subjects that it's hard not to blend them. I don't want to hold the older one back, and the younger one I don't want to push too hard. What do you suggest? I just thought this was interesting because me and my brother Sam are probably very much in this almost exact scenario. We were both, you know, we're a little under 2 years apart. And I mean, for the most part, I think we pretty much just blended. I mean, I might have done like a little bit more, you know, higher math and stuff once we were later in school. And then we might have deviated a little bit more later on. But initially, we really did just do a lot of it together for the most part. There might be some, but by and large, yeah, that's fine. Because again, you're not really holding them back against anything other than your own, right. You know, your own mental line. So if you kind of get rid of that concept of like, I have to hit, you know, all these things, or the reading level, like if you're just reading together or they're reading, you know, books together, I mean, it'll be pretty natural. I mean, if it's like a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old, obviously they're not going to even know what they're talking. It's not going to be the same level of understanding. But when you're that close together, and if they're a little bit older, I mean, that's pretty much what we did. And I mean, you know, I don't think it stunted him that badly, but.
And that would be another, I think, a fun question to ask your mom.
Yeah, definitely. Ben,
because she's had really two or three sets of kids like that. And I think you're absolutely right. I would throw out grade levels, you know, at least for these two kids, and just, you know, shoot for somewhere in the middle, you know, pick second grade. It doesn't matter if your daughter above is, you know, doing second grade material. It's not because that she's lesser. You're just doing them at the same time, and that's okay. So I think Ben gave great advice, but we'll ask Debbie and see what she did with her kids. Also my kids.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Something I thought interesting, there's a few people mention it, you know, and it's that they're like, you know, oh, what do you do about the bubble, or, you know, and we talked about this last week, the socialization, you know, my public school friends, you know, people who have their kids in public school always say that. And I was kind of thinking that it kind of feels kind of like, you know, as a Christian, you know, it's okay if the world thinks we look weird, you know. And this is not a religious thing, obviously. Like, homeschooling is not a matter of faith. You're not a believer or not. But the fact of is, if you homeschool, you're probably just going to have to be okay with people who don't homeschool thinking you're weird, you know, and that they just don't. And as we talked about socialization, we know it's not true. You need to just believe it's not true. And you're not going to be able to, like, argue it out and prove to all your friends who have public school kids that your kid's not living in a bubble. Like, okay, whatever. You know, I mean, I know it's not easy to necessarily do, because we do care what other people think. I care what other people think. But eventually, it's just going to have to be, it may not feel, you know, you may not be able to give them perfect answers. And you don't need to necessarily. But
right.
It does feel that. I totally feel that draw. But try to fight it, because it's never going to end, probably. But that was a side tangent. But did you have any others?
No, how about, because we're just about out of time, and how about we answer that one that you brought up about the teaching textbooks? I can't find it.
Yeah, right, it's now. She said, what do you do when your kids or when your kid doesn't like teaching textbooks? It makes me smile, but them frown. I had really high hopes, but in all reality, one of their kids is very challenged when it comes to math. So I don't know if it's all of them or just the one specifically. But
and then how does it it finishes out a certain way, doesn't it? Is that the end of the question?
No, that's all she said. And then you said, what age are they? What math level? She said she's almost 14, but at grade level 4.
Oh, that's not the one I was thinking about.
Okay.
We're going to let Debbie answer that one, because she'd have some thoughts on that. She knows lots of different curriculums. The one I was thinking about was the math one about someone doing geometry, and they were just kind of hitting the...
I hear you.
Hitting their head against the wall. Where is that? Can you find it?
I don't see that one here. Hold on.
I hate to just make up the question.
Yeah. Well, it filters some of them out sometimes, and so you can't...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was the one about the... How do you motivate a 17-year-old, but I don't know if that was the one you're
thinking.
Maybe
that was it.
But they don't mention geometry.
I thought it was geometry. Can they just not count it, remember? Or can I count it still?
I don't see it. I'm looking through them all here. Sorry, everyone. Getting some live
stuff. Just won't answer that one. So we'll just say we're going to stop right there. Lots of great questions.
Strong ending.
And,
it's nothing like a strong ending.
That's right. Well, if you have a cold and everybody has a cold, then I think we're done. but thanks for all your great questions, and we'll answer some more of those. Again, I hope, even if your question wasn't answered, I hope you realize your question is asked over and over and over again. Because everybody seems to be asking the same types of questions. You're feeling the same things. I can't even think of a question that I've seen in recent history that is just like, whoa, I've never heard that one before. And that should bring you some comfort, you know, that you're not alone, that you're facing what other people are facing. And really, as we always close the show, that should make you smile. So have a great week. And, you know, if you got another question, you can email me at familyman@familymanweb.com, or you can put it down in the comments below, and have a great week.
Thanks for listening. Just a reminder, if you enjoy our show, please leave a review on whatever podcast app you use, and maybe share it with a friend as well. Thank you to Teaching Textbooks for sponsoring the Smiling Homeschooler. They make this possible, and you should go check out a free trial of their amazing math curriculum over on their website, teachingtextbooks.com. Have a great week, and don't forget to smile.